Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia fully implement the Paris Agreement in 2020. Indonesian President Joko Widodo approves the operation of Dumai Malaka Ro-Ro ship. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalot Pane. The Environment and Forestry Minister held Red Plus Week on March 26 to 27 in Jakarta in accordance to coordinate Paris Agreement implementation on the climate change and gas emission reduction in 2020. On the sidelines of the event at Grand Sahijaya Hotel, Jakarta on Tuesday, Director General of Climate Change Control of Environment and Forestry Ministry, Ruanda Agung Sugardiman, said that the central and regional governments have to be synergized so gas emission reduction that has been targeted nationally can be immediately achieved.
Sampai sebelum 2020, ini kita kan masih sebetulnya kan.
Prior to 2020, we are still practicing and counting, then evaluated by the international team after that we begin to implement it in 2020. Means that we have to be ready with the methodology that can be accessed, validated by the international team. There should be synergized what is being committed by Indonesia and the international forum. There are already laws and regulations at the national level. The bill and regulation must be implemented by the regional government since the emission can be decreased if there is accompanied by real effort in the local government.
Karena emisi itu bisa terjadi menurun kalau upaya di pemerintah daerah itu nyata.
Ruanda Agung Sugardiman furthermore added that the handling of climate change is a global issue. It needs involvement from all stakeholders to take an active role in efforts of mitigation and climate change adaptation. Indonesia is one of the countries that plays active role in fully negotiating and implementing reducing emission from deforestation in developing countries or Red Plus. The Red Plus Achievement Report in Indonesia has been conveyed and listed in the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, or UNFCCC, on December 21, 2018. South Sumatra has been entrusted to host the Urban Environmental Accords, UEA, or a network of areas keen on responding to global climate issues in Palembang in October and of 2019. Governor's Special Staff for Climate Change Najib Asmani, in his remarks in Palembang on Wednesday, expressed belief that South Sumatra would be the host of the event, as it has extensive experience in holding international-level activities. Hence, South Sumatra will host the activity based on the theme of smart and sustainable cities and districts. The UEA is an international collaborative organization striving to develop the Urban and District Environmental Evaluation Index. Moreover, the organization implements the United Nations Environmental Program, UNEP program, and applies it across cities worldwide, chairperson of the South Sumatra Regional Peat Restoration Team noted. Furthermore, the UEA aims to create a low-carbon green city through the expansion of global networks and development of environment-friendly projects. Presidential candidate number 01, Joko Widodo, received a piece of paper that contains a hope of Dumai people during his campaign in Bukit Gelanggang Park, Dumai, Riau Province on Thursday afternoon. Dumai people hope that roll-on-roll of Ro-Ro ship serving Dumai Malacca route to be operated soon. After reading the paper, Joko Widodo instantly signed that he agreed to operate the ship route. The Dumai Malacca Cruise Road is one of the mandates of Master Plan of ASEAN Connectivity that has been agreed by the Southeast Asian leaders. In addition, there are also the Belawan Penang Phuket and Bitung Davao General Santos Roads. Indonesia and Malaysia have signed an MOU to implement the Dumai Malacca Road. The agreement is also conducted by PT Pelindo 1 and Tanjung Bruas Port as Dumai Malacca Port Operator. The MOU covering all the technical requirements or arrangements needed by the two countries to formalize the Dumai Malacca Road. However, the planned operation of this road is still not implemented yet. APEC members sought to find common ground on intellectual property IP rights, including the protection and administration of IP rights in the Asia-Pacific region during a dialogue on IP policy. According to a written statement issued by APEC's IPAZ and received in Jakarta on Tuesday, the dialogue was held at the semi-annual gathering in Santiago, Chile, conducted by APEC Intellectual Property Rights Experts Group. To discuss important matters relating to IP rights, successful strategies against counterfeiting were some of the important lessons shared at the gathering. The IPEZ meeting is also a forum where APEC economists share information on IP strategies, current initiatives and accomplishments, and generated projects aimed at capacity building. The IPEZ's work program also includes studying measures for effective enforcement of intellectual property rights and facilitating technical cooperation to help economies implement the agreement on trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Popular Islamic preacher Abdullah Gymnastiar, or well known as A.A. Gym, has called on all Muslims in Indonesia to maintain Islamic and national brotherhood as well as to avoid rifts over different political preferences in the upcoming parliamentary and presidential elections. On the contrary, all Indonesian Muslims must maintain unity, family ties, and brotherhood. Speaking at an event to celebrate the Isra Mi'raj, or accessions of Prophet Muhammad, at Al Bantani Grand Mosque in Banten, he explained that it was common to have different political preferences, but preserving Islamic and national brotherhood was the most important of all. A.A. Gym also urged the General Elections Commission and Election Supervisory Body to maintain integrity and honesty in convening the elections, while security personnel assigned to safeguard this democratic process were called on to not function as parts of players. Environment and Forestry Ministry held coordinating meeting on National Priority Lake Rescue in achieving target of middle-term National Development Plan of 2015-2019. Director General of Watersheds Control and Protection Forests, PDASHL, IB Putra Partama at Mangala Wana Bakti, Jakarta, explained that revitalization of 15 damaged lakes requires a huge budget.
Sebenarnya banyak danau kita yang rusak, tapi yang 15 itu yang amat rusak. Dana yang diperlukan.
Many of our lakes are damaged and 15 of the lakes are severe damage. Lots of funds are needed, so the lake management plan is needed. The problem is, this is the duty of the sector, and the funds should also be taken from the sector. While the ministry has the task to improve water catchment in upstream area, and we are looking for a budget for that. For each lake needs different funds.
Kita cari anggaran untuk itu. Kalau UPU lain lagi, jadi nggak bisa disebutkan perlu berapa. Takutnya kaget semua, misalnya Danau Toba perlu sekian triliun, gitu kan gimana? Karena luar biasa persoalannya.
Abi Putra Partama moreover added that the Environment and Forestry Ministry also in cooperation with other 11 ministries, among others, Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing, Transportation Ministry, Tourism Ministry, Agriculture Ministry, and Bappenas. The Rawa Pening Lake in Semarang is one of the lakes that becomes priority as revitalizing pilot. Aceh is currently preparing itself to be the world's best halal destination. Aceh along with Lombok are arranged to be halal destinations. By considering Aceh tourism sector development and people's higher interest to make Aceh as the tourism destination, Indonesian Tourism Minister Arif Yahya suggested Aceh to build a special economic zone. Minister Arif Yahya in Jakarta explained that Aceh needs 20 trillion rupiah to build a special economic zone.
Jadi kalau secara budaya kita udah positioningnya firm, halal. Kalau untuk alam, bahari nggak ada yang ngalahin, apalagi Sabang itu.
Culturally, we have a halal positioning firm, while Sabang is the best natural port in Indonesia. And it is projected that this year the world 30 cruises will land there with world-class attractions. In my opinion, for the first stage, more people come to Aceh and the Ministry of Tourism will have to provide incentives, for example, from Kuala Lumpur and from Singapore to Aceh. The average of one destination requires a budget of 20 trillion, 10 trillion for basic infrastructure and 10 trillion for amenities.
Dari Singapura bahkan banyak muslim yang dari Singapura bisa juga ke Aceh.
Minister Arif Yahya moreover added that the country's biggest challenge is on licensing issues because it still has complicated bureaucracy. With the special economic zone, the matter will be simplified, while basic infrastructure as well as facilities will be fully supported by the government. Well, listener, that's the news. Here is today's commentary on U.S. decision acknowledging Golan Heights as Israel's territory. I'm Dalat Pali. The U.S. President Donald Trump's statement recognizing Golan Heights as Israel's territory has sparked opposition, accompanied by visiting Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Washington on Monday clearly issued a statement that the United States recognized the Golan Heights as an area of Israeli sovereignty. It was symbolized by the signing of the proclamation, which was warmly welcomed by Netanyahu. This, however, immediately invited rejection and criticism from many sides. Belgium, Britain, France, Germany, and Poland simultaneously refused. The five countries which are members of the UN Security Council on Tuesday, March 26, expressed their concerns over Donald Trump's statement. In fact, the five European countries also said they did not recognize Israel's sovereignty over the territory on the Golan Heights, occupied by Israel since 1967. As it is known, in 1967, after the Six-Day War with Syria, Israel had annexed the Golan Heights and in 1981 effectively annexed the region. The refusal of Donald Trump's unilateral statement regarding the Golan Heights was also immediately conveyed by Russia and China. The two permanent members of the UN Security Council have signaled that they would immediately discuss it at a UN Security Council session. The two countries apparently cannot accept any reason from Donald Trump. It was said that one of the reasons for the controversial statement is because it is considered as a form of opposition to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and Iran, who are supporters of al-Assad. Indonesia certainly strongly opposed the unilateral decision of the United States. Indonesia, from the beginning, has consistently supported Palestinian independence. Donald Trump's statement, which expresses his partiality to Israel, is not only controversial and very unilateral, but has sparked new tensions, especially in the Middle East. Gulf countries have also shown opposition. Very likely, the conflict in the Middle East will be even bigger due to the U.S. statement. The U.N. Security Council must immediately hold a hearing not only to respond to the United States' decision, but also to reject it. That's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia. Listener, today in history will begin with March 27, 1968. Suharto is inaugurated as the second president of Indonesia. On March 27, 1968, Indonesia officially had a new president, which was Suharto. Previously, on March 12, 1967, Suharto was appointed as acting president of Indonesia through the special session of the Provisional People's Consultative Assembly, or MPRS. The appointment was made after President Sukarno's accountability speech, titled Nawaksara, was rejected by the MPRS on February 17, 1967. Suharto rose to power after gaining solid support from MPRS members. The event marked the end of the old order period and the establishment of a milestone in the new order regime. I will turn to 1977. The Pan Am Flight 1736 airplane collides with KLM Flight 4805. The collision of two jumbo jets at Los Rodeos Airport, Canary Island, on March 27, 1977, is still the worst disaster in the history of world's aviation. A total of 582 passengers and crew were killed in the collision. The two Boeing 747 aircraft that collided were not supposed to be at the airport located in Tenerife, Spain. Pan Am Flight 7066 and KLM Flight 4805 aircraft were diverted to Los Rodeos because of a bomb explosion at Gran Canaria Airport, Spain, which was their destination. I'll end today in history with March 27, 2009, the Situ Gintung embankment incident. Situ Gintung is a small artificial lake built between 1932 and 1933. This artificial lake is located in East Ciputat District, South Tangerang City, Banten Province. This is actually an irrigation channel. After independence, the channel changed its function to become a tourism conservation reservoir. In the morning of March 27, 2009, the 30-meter wide Situ Gintung embankment with a height of 6 meters collapsed because it was no longer able to withstand the water discharge due to heavy rain, which continued to fall one day earlier. About 2.1 million cubic meters of water hit the settlements located under the embankment and caused 99 casualties. That was today in history. Dengan nafasmu aku hidup, karena tawamu aku bahagia, hidup di dunia. Sama dirimu aku kegan, karena hatimu adalah yang terbaik untuk dimiliki. Dan biarkan aku mencintai.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listen to today's topic of My Indonesia titled The First Indonesian MRT Officially Operates. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated Moda Raya Integrated Public Transportation, or MRT Jakarta Phase 1, at the Hotel Indonesia Roundabout, or Bundaran HI, Central Jakarta on Sunday, March 24. In addition to launching the operation of the first phase of Jakarta's MRT from Lebak Bulus to Bundaran HI, President Joko Widodo also launched the construction of the 8.7-kilometer MRT Phase 2 from Bundaran HI to Kota. At the beginning of his remarks, President said, "With the operation of the Jakarta MRT, a new civilization began in the capital city." The President advised the Jakarta residents to get used to queuing, time discipline, and maintaining cleanliness by not littering inside MRT stations and trains. President Joko Widodo further said in the next 10 years, MRT is targeted to be able to connect 331 kilometers across Jabodetabek, namely Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, Bekasi. The president asked the Jakarta provincial government to start construction of Jakarta Integrated Moda Raya East-West Route in 2019. In the inauguration, president signed an inscription witnessed by Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan, President Director of Jakarta MRT William Sabandar, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, and Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi. Meanwhile, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi said the government was very committed to building integrated transportation modes in Jakarta. In line with the president's statement, Minister Budi Karya Sumadi was convinced that the existence of MRT could make people leave private vehicles and switch to public transportation. The construction of MRT Phase 3 from Cikarang in Bekasi Regency to Balaraja in Tangerang Regency is planned to begin this year or early 2020. On the same occasion, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that MRT was a valuable investment for Jakarta. Minister hopes that the inauguration of the Jakarta Integrated Moda Raya route in Lebak Bulus to Hotel Indonesia Roundabout or Bundaran HI can solve the problem of congestion and high mobility of Jakarta society. Minister Sri Mulyani also hopes that this facility will soon be connected with other modes of transportation such as Transjakarta and commuter line electric rail, including the second phase of MRT construction, which will be carried out immediately. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sampai
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, today's topic for Indonesian Wonder is Labuan Bajo in nomadic and glamping tourism. As one of 10 priority destinations, Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara is ready to give new experience for tourists in form of nomadic tourism. Besides tourism attraction of Komodo and diving, Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said that nomadic tourism concept is a temporary solution for our tourism. Live Abroad Tourism, which has been developed for the last 5 years in Labuan Bajo, is an example of temporary solution. It can be amenity solution or supporting facility access to tourism area and also access for nomad tourists. In the past, we knew it as special interest tourism, but by the time goes, the trend comes into existence to become public interest tour. According to Minister Arif Yahya, to develop destination of Labuan Bajo, it takes around 30 years. Because the minister decided to run temporary solution, namely nomadic tourism. Nomadic tourism refers to people who always travel or move to place and destination. The development of nomadic tourism in Labuan Bajo can be accelerated in order to get better results, especially in amenity sector. For attractions, Labuan Bajo has no need to be asked again because it has been well known on Komodo Island and it is also known as the best diving spot. Meanwhile, for amenity concept, nomadic tourism can accelerate tourist growth. In addition, a number of glamour camping sites can be seen in this region. Among them is located on Saloka Island, which is worked by social enterprises with the name Bahagia Ecosystem Island. There is also nomadic hot tour Ajan, which was established by Dive Center led by nomadic Chondo Subagyo, a famous nomad of diving world in Labuan Bajo. For tourists who want to conduct glamour holiday, they can also try sailing through beautiful beaches by using luxurious ships. Various kinds of luxurious ships can be found easily at marina area of Labuan Bajo port. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kau bisa patahkan kakiku, tapi tidak mimpi-mimpiku. Kau bisa lumpuhkan tanganku, tapi tidak mimpi-mimpiku. Kau bisa merebut senyumku, tapi sungguh tak akan lama. Kau bisa merobek hatiku, tapi aku tahu obatnya. Manusia-manusia kuat, itu kita.
Jiwa-jiwa yang kuat, itu kita.
Manusia-manusia kuat, itu kita.
Jiwa-jiwa yang kuat, itu kita.
Kau bisa hitamkan putihku,
kau takkan gelapkan apapun. Kau bisa runtuhkan jalanku, kan ku temukan jalan yang lain.
Manusia manusia kuat, itu kita.
Jiwa-jiwa yang kuat,
itu kita.
Manusia manusia kuat,
itu kita.
Jiwa-jiwa yang kuat,
itu kita.
Bila bukan kehendaknya, tidak satu pun jelasmu akan bawa bahaya.
Manusia manusia kuat, itu kita.
Jiwa-jiwa yang kuat,
itu kita.
Manusia manusia kuat,
itu kita.
Jiwa-jiwa yang kuat,
itu kita.
Manusia manusia kuat,
itu kita.
Jiwa-jiwa yang kuat,
itu kita.
Patahkan kakiku, patah tanganku, rabut senyumku. Hitamkan putihnya hatiku, tapi tidak mimpi-mimpiku.
Alright listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happens in Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is cuaca or weather. Next is a conversation between Tony and tour guide at Prambanan Temple area. They are talking about the weather.
Oh, panas sekali. Berapa suhunya?
30 derajat Celsius.
Wow.
Berapa suhu di London pada musim panas?
Sekitar 23 derajat.
As usual, after the conversation, I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Suhu, suhu, which means temperature. Berapa suhunya? Berapa suhunya? Which means what is the temperature? 30 derajat Celsius. 30 derajat Celsius. 30 centigrade degrees. Berapa suhu di London pada musim panas? Berapa suhu di London pada musim panas? Which means, what is the temperature in London in the summer? Sekitar 23 derajat. Sekitar 23 derajat. About 23 degrees. To know air temperature when you are talking, you can say, berapa suhunya? When you want to know the air temperature of a country, such as in London, or region in certain season, you can say, berapa suhu di London pada musim panas? Berapa suhu di London pada musim panas? Which means, what is the temperature in summer in London? Berapa suhu udara pada musim dingin? Berapa suhu udara pada musim dingin? Which means, what is the temperature in winter? If you know the temperature exactly, you can mention it. But if you do not know, you can use the word sekitar or kurang lebih. For example, berapa suhunya? Berapa suhunya? Which means, what is the temperature? Kurang lebih 23 derajat. Kurang lebih 23 derajat, which means it is about 23 degrees. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Oh, panas sekali. Berapa suhunya?
30 derajat Celcius.
Wow.
Berapa suhu di London pada musim panas?
Sekitar 23 derajat.
Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition is helpful to those who want to know about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week for more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Saat Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. For today's edition, I present a regional song from North Sumatra titled Pulau Samosir. The song, which was composed by Nahum Sitomorang, tells about love expression toward Samosir Island as hometown that will always be remembered. There are many species of fish, livestock, and plants on the island. In spite of being in other places, those who come from Samosir Island will always miss it. Several sources mention that the song Pulau Samosir is one of the songs which represents identity of Tapanuli or Batak people. The song Pulau Samosir is not only dedicated by the local musicians, but also other Indonesian musicians and singers. Well, listener, to know about Samosir Island, we present you the song Pulau Samosir by Victor Huta Barat. Happy listening!
Solo pasó una con oro tu cima.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.